cleansing, stress, and relief. Is that what it says? Do you know the song? Tears are for what? They are for cleansing, stress, and relief. And they are created by God just to give us what? Relief. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So anyway, what I want to do with you this morning is just to read some scriptures with you. Do you understand? So that you can be of this persuasion against the day when you have to go through a storm. Hallelujah. Amen. I pray that all of us will have a great life and a good time as much as possible. But unfortunately, that's not how it goes. Amen. Amen. The reality of life is such that we all go through ups and downs. How many have seen some ups in life? Raise up your hand. Let me see. Okay. How many of you have seen some downs? Raise up your hand to let me see. Powerful. Now, there are some of you who haven't seen anything. So, you are also good. Amen. But let me read with you from Genesis chapter 37. And I pray that God will bless all those families of those little children. I pray that the Holy Spirit will comfort them and that God will help them. Amen. Amen. During this difficult time of their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 37. Have you found Genesis chapter 37? Here is a story of a very fine young man who has all and only good things going for him. And Genesis chapter 37. Have you found Genesis chapter 37? Okay, when you find it, you say amen. I'm waiting for you. Have you found it? All right. Now, before that, go to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 and 2. Very quickly, please. Today we are just reading the scriptures and getting encouragement from them. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." Hallelujah. Do you think God is speaking to you? Are you the person he's addressing here? God created thee, and he that formed thee. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters." Hallelujah. Notice he's not saying if you pass through water, but it's a matter of when. Hallelujah. But it says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Hallelujah. So God has a provision. God has a provision. Some people wonder, where is God when it hurts? Where is God when such difficult and terrible things are happening? Well, God says, "I will be with thee. I will be with thee when you go through the fire and when you go through the rivers." Hallelujah. Now, back to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 is a story of a young man who has everything good going for him and everything is working well, until things suddenly begin to change. So verse 1, "Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger." Can we read maybe the NASV, please? NASB, I mean. All right. "Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Okay? Then, verse 3. Now, Israel loved Joseph. Verse 3. Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varicolored tunic. You know, his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Hallelujah. Right. So you have to watch out when you're sharing your dreams. Don't share your dreams with people who do not like you. Hallelujah. Verse 6. He said to them, please listen to this dream which I had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So you can see, there's hatred, then the hatred increased, then the hatred has increased even more here. Third degree hatred. Right. Now, the next one, next verse, it says, now he had still another dream. And he related it to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Now he had 11 brothers. So 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? And the next verse, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. And he said to him, I will go. So the next verse. Then he said to him, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock, and bring word back to me. So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are pasturing the flock. Then the next one. Then the man said, they have moved from here, for I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. When he saw him from a distance, or when they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Can you see that? Yeah. You see, God has given this young man, or this boy, a dream for greatness. Do you understand? But his brothers are now going to exercise their will in a way that he cannot control. Do you understand? In a way that Joseph cannot do anything about. He cannot do anything about what his brothers do with their lives. He says, now then, come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. Then the next verse, verse 21. Reuben further said unto them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness. but do not lay hands on him. That he might, he said, Reuben was saying this to them so that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to their father. Do you get the idea? So Reuben was saying that let's put him in a pit, you know, and his plan was that he would retrieve the boy later on and send him back to his father. Okay. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the varicolored tunic that was on him. And they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. And then they sat down to eat a meal. And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Next one. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see terrible things happening to a very nice person, isn't it? Right. Now the next one, verse, what verse would it be? No, this is 30, 31, 32, right? We're reading all the way. Let's keep reading. Sorry? I haven't read this. Okay, sorry. Now Reuben returned to the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he tore his garment. He returned to his brothers and said, the boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go? So they took Joseph's tunic and slaughtered a male goat and dipped the tunic in the blood. And then what happened? Next one. And they sent the varicolored tunic and brought it to their father and said, we found this. Please examine it to see whether it is your son's tunic or not. Then he examined it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. So Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Hallelujah. So Joseph, Jacob was crying and weeping over his son. He had lost him, you know. Then all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, surely I will go down to Sheol in mourning for my son. In other words, I will die mourning for my son. I will never stop crying over this boy until I die. So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. Hallelujah. Is that the end? Okay, so skip chapter. That's chapter what? 37. So go to chapter 39. The story somehow mysteriously breaks off after chapter 37 and picks up after or in chapter 39. So now chapter 39, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Verse 39, it says, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Hallelujah. Now, here is what I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen, that when we are going through difficult times, and when good seems to turn into bad, and bad turns into worse, and worse seems to escalate into worst, do you understand? It is very difficult for us to see or imagine or even think that God is actually with us in this tragedy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is difficult to imagine that God will give someone a dream of greatness, a dream of blessing, and yet the person seems to go after the dream. There's not even one good thing that happens to this person from the time that he starts dreaming. From the time that he dreams, he only inspires hatred, you know, hostility, even from his own brothers. People who were close to him begin to hate him, you know, and they begin to have ideas. I mean, how would you feel if your brothers sold you? Do you understand? Your brothers begin to sell you. Your brothers begin to sell you, and they are plotting. Someone said, let's kill him and let's see what will become of his dreams. Even the selling was actually the milder form. Do you understand? But the original plan was kill him. Just kill him. Kill our brother. Destroy him. You know, and let's see what will become of his dreams. But the Bible is saying here that the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. It's not a new thing. It's not that the Lord has suddenly now decided to come and be with Joseph. But what we're reading is that the Lord has been with Joseph throughout all these things that are happening to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it may seem like things are going bad for him. And it may seem, you may even wonder, where is his God? Is God even interested in him at all? But the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. And then he says he became a successful man and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. God was with Joseph and God caused everything Joseph did to prosper. You know? God caused everything Joseph touched to prosper. So you can see, he came from the mountain into the valley. Do you understand? Then now from the valley, he seems to be rising up to another mountain. Can you see that? So even though he came from the mountain of being his father's favorite son, very well protected, he has given him a coat of many colors. Now the guy has gone down into a pit, into slavery, has been purchased, and now he seems to be rising again. The word successful man is being applied to him. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. That is a great place to be, isn't it? That everything you do just works, you know. Any business you try to do just works. You choose a course, you start to study it, and it just works for you. You write an exam, you pass. You know, everything you do just seems to be working. And things were working for him. And read the next verse. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. So you see, now he's still rising. He became his personal servant. And he made him overseer of his house. So things are getting even better, isn't it? And then all that he owned, he put in his charge. You see? And it came about from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned. It says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. That's the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. Isn't that a good place to be? Hallelujah. Then the next one. Are you enjoying the scriptures? Yeah. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. I mean, it can't get better than this. Do you get it? Look, his career is in top shape. Do you understand? And his looks are working too. Do you get it? I mean, It's too powerful. Because you don't often get the combination. That's what I'm trying to say. I just had to pause a little bit. I mean, you get a guy, look, everything has been left in his charge. What does it mean? It means he's now the boss, isn't it? He's now some type of a CEO or some type of a successful manager. You know, everything is in his hands, you know. And the Bible is careful to add that, and he looked good too. Hallelujah. So he was handsome in form and in appearance. Do you see? Verse 37. And it came about after these events. No, you went too fast. That his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Wow. So this is about the peak, isn't it? This is about the peak. Right. So now, then she says, lie with me. Then the next verse. But he refused and said to his master, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. And he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you. Because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? I thought he would have said against the master. Do you understand? But you can see that this is a person who is serving God in the open and also in private. Do you understand? Who is not saying that, well, nobody is going to know, you know, it's just between you and I, okay? It never happened, okay? He's not trying to do anything like that, do you see? But here is somebody who is serving God and is maintaining his integrity in private. Can I have an amen? Amen. Many times we have the opportunity to be honest and to be truthful in private. But there are many times when we fail that test. Because a lot of us practice our Christianity to be seen. Do you see? We are good and we are honest and we are sincere. Because if we are not, we'll be caught. But where we will not be caught, often we choose the other one. You see, but here is somebody who is trying to be sincere and truthful, even in private. Can I have an amen? I see you doing that in Jesus' name. Right, and then the next one, he says, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her, or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left the garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Do you understand? Because one of the reasons why we fall into sin is because we don't want to lose anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? We do not want to lose anything. Many of us fall into sin because we do not want to lose anything. We do not want it to cost us anything. You see, if I break up with him, I will not have a right anymore. So I just have to be with him. You get it? Yeah. I would not. This is the guy who's been giving. In fact, when I was in Jamaica a few days ago, I met a lady who had been with somebody, you know, for a long time. And I think that the person had been giving her money or something of the sort, you know. And so her whole problem was that, look, if I stop this thing now, all this money is going to go away. You see, so I have to continue, even though it's killing me, I still like it because the money is good. Do you understand? But here is a guy who said, well, even if it cost me my coat, just take it. Do you understand? Because if you're going to live the righteous life in the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's going to put you in some difficult places. I mean, can you imagine how this fellow looked when he was running across the courtyard with no shirt on? Do you get it? You'll be sitting somewhere and then you see this young man, Joseph, screaming maybe and running across the courtyard with his shorts, just trying to grab whatever is left of his clothes. Do you understand? Because he's trying to escape, you know, what others would see as an opportunity. I think it's a good message. Hallelujah. So he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Then the next one. Then when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled, she called all the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." Next one. Yeah, she's lying. So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Do you see? When she spoke to him with these words, the Hebrew slave, then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and I screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." So the garment has now become evidence, isn't it? Then the next one, verse 19. "Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him saying, 'This is what your slave did to me,' his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail." Hallelujah. You see, again, you have an opportunity to ask so many questions, isn't it? That why is God alive? Why? Because when you read the story, it seems God has so many opportunities to change something. Do you understand? God has so many opportunities to stop the evil that seems to be escalating and growing and growing. That God could have stopped. Why should God let, you know, the guy goes to the house to work in that place and the woman is alone there? I mean, first of all, maybe God should not have allowed that situation to happen at all. Do you see? And then when the woman took his garments and he was trying to do something good, the woman has taken the garment and now the garment is now strong evidence. Do you understand? And why isn't God bringing or doing something to deliver this brother from this situation? But when you read the story, it has gone on. God has allowed it to go on and on and on. And now the guy is in jail. The Christian brother is in jail. I heard when I was in Jamaica that some people were sent there to go and start a church from a certain place. Missionaries just trying to do the work of God. They went to the place. I think they stayed there a few days. And they were thrown out. So they were trying to go to another island, which also refused them. So they sent them back to Jamaica, where they had originally started that flight. And the Jamaicans took them and just put them in jail for 6 months. Yeah. A pastor who hasn't done anything wrong. He just came to Jamaica to try to start a church. He just came, was coming to preach the gospel in that place. And the people took him and his wife. They put him in the male prison. They put his wife in the female prison, you know. And the missionary I went to visit, he was telling me this story. He said, "I went to visit them. I went to visit the wife separately. And then I went to visit the husband. And when I went, they were both crying in the place." It's like, what have we done wrong? I mean, can you imagine? They were in jail from January, February, March, April, May, up to June. 6 months. People who have come with only one mission, not to come and buy drugs or sell drugs or overthrow the government or do any such thing, but they're just coming to preach. Innocent people just thrown into jail for 6 months. And it makes you wonder, where is God? Because they went there to work for God. But what I'm trying to share with you this morning is that, you see, God
And his goodness and sovereignty is not only defined in good or defined by good times. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a very immature view and perception of God to think that when it feels good, then it is God. And when it feels bad, it can't be God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because as soon as the word jail occurs, then the next verse says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Can you see that? Yeah, the Lord had not left him at all. So we can see the guy came from a mountain. He came down into a valley. Then he went back up into a mountain. Now he's back in the valley. But each time he enters the valley, we can see the verse just says, but the Lord was with him. God was with him. God was with him. So it is not only good times that prove that God is with us, but also difficult times. In difficult times, God is also with us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says, the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Hallelujah. And then what happened? The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail. You see, the thing is rising again. You see, so now he has hit the bottom, but he's beginning to rise again. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Hallelujah. I love this passage we're reading, because I believe that, you see, the pattern is the same. You understand? The pattern is the same. You have to begin to develop a faith in God that goes beyond good times in the Lord. That is strong even when you are crying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Job said that even though he slays me, yes, I will trust him. Even though God kills me, I will trust him. That's what Job said. We have to have a faith that is robust in Christ. A faith that is strong and a faith that can see God's hand even in very difficult times. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Because when a few days ago, when they were asking me, because the little girl was on life support, and they were asking me, what should we do? Should we remove the thing or should we continue it? And I was just wondering, oh Lord, isn't there anything you can do for our little girl? Because I remember when she was born. In fact, I remember when the mother was pregnant. Then I remember when she had a baby. And I remember how we had a baby dedication. And I remember how we prayed for this little girl. And she had grown and grown, beautiful girl. And she was now in this situation at 6. Do you see? So I was just thinking, but God, but God, but God. But I believe that God has comforted me very greatly with these scriptures. Because I began to see that, you know, God is not, when you say God is there, it doesn't mean always that it's shining. Do you understand? That sometimes it's very gloomy and feels very dark, but God is there too. God is there, and very much so. Hallelujah. Amen. But as you continue to read this story, then you begin to see the big picture. That we should not judge God by taking pieces of the story. Do you understand? But you need to see the big picture, because this journey we are traveling on is actually the road to kingship. This person we are reading about, the next time he goes up, now he's down again. But the next flight up is actually taking him all the way up. And you notice each time he went down, he came up and went a little higher than his previous mountain. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he begins the story, his greatest achievement is that he is his father's favorite son in a house. That was the top place in his life. But when he goes down and comes up, he's now the chief servant of the highest person in the most prosperous civilization at the time that he lives. Now he's gone down again, and he's now in jail. But from jail, he has begun to rise. And when the story ends, he is now no longer working in the house. He is the boss himself of a big, prosperous country that God has allowed him to go to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And he says, the Lord made whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Can I have an amen? You see, and then you read on, when you read on, is there any more in this chapter? There's no more in this chapter. When you read on, you're going to find what happens. It says there are two guys who were working for the king, his butler and his baker. They came to, did something. The king was angry with them. He put them in jail. And he put them in no other jail but where this fellow was, Joseph. And then when they came there, they had dreams. One of them had a dream. And, well, both of them had dreams. The Bible says they dreamt the same night. They had two dreams. Joseph had the chance to interpret the dream. And then Joseph told them that the meanings of your dreams, one of you, in 3 days, one of you will be promoted back to your job. You'll be given your job back. The other person will be removed from here, but he is going to die. Then he told the one who was going to live that when you go, remember me. You see, because sometimes when we are down, when God has allowed us to enter a certain place, do you see, we try to make our own connections out. Do you see what I'm saying? But when God is not taking you out, you will not come out. So then I'll put it the other way. When you try to come out and you are not coming out, you must also accept that then God has not taken me out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Maybe I should show you that verse before we close. Pastor Malena, can you go straight to, I think it's in the next chapter. The next chapter. This is chapter 4. We just read chapter 39, right? So let's read chapter 40. A little bit of chapter 40 before we bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed by any of this? Chapter 40 and verse 1. Okay, all right. This is okay. This is good. Verse 13. Now, he's interpreting the dream at this point, and he says, in 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cup bearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. It couldn't be more clear than this. What I mean is, now go to the next verse. You go to the next verse, verse 15. Now, for I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. Do you understand? So again, when you see a Christian brother in the dungeon, don't try to explain it and say it's because he has done something. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. When you see a bad thing happening to a good person, don't always assume that it's because of some bad thing that he has done. That is why he's going through such an experience. Because we've read this fellow was a totally innocent person, hasn't done anything twice. When he was in a pit, it wasn't because he had done anything. It was because somebody had put him over there. Do you understand? Now he's in the dungeon again, and it's not because he has done anything, but it's because somebody has put him over there. Hallelujah. And he says that they put me in the dungeon. Now when the chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably, he said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, behold, there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. You see, unfortunately, this part of the story doesn't go so good. And in the top of the basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. And the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat your flesh off you. Wow. Thus, it came about on the 3rd day, when which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. How? I mean, Akwete, if you met a prophet this afternoon, and the prophet tells you that in 3 days, that's by Wednesday, you're going to get a call from the mayor of the city. And the mayor is, or the mayor of Alameda, Pastor Henry says, he prefers the mayor of Alameda. But the mayor of Alameda, and the mayor of Alameda says that he's going to make you the chief counselor of Alameda County or something. That's what the prophet tells you this afternoon. And then in 3 days, it happens exactly as he said. How do you forget such a prophet? Do you think you're going to forget who told you that? How are you going to? You will never forget it. Anytime you tell the story of how you got the job, you're going to say, huh, there was this one day I went to church and we had good praise and worship, you know, and somehow I just knew that that day the Lord will move, because you have to embellish a little bit. Then after the service, I met this prophet who said to me that within 3 days, your life is going to change. And in exactly 3 days, by Wednesday afternoon, I got this call. That's how I got this job. You will never forget it. But look at him. This man met somebody in prison. The person told him, in 3 days, you get your job back. In 3 days, this other person will be killed. In 3 days, he gets his job back. In 3 days, the other person gets killed. But he forgets the guy. The guy said to him, remember me. Please remember me. And he forgot him. Yeah. Because when God has not lifted you out of a certain place, you cannot lift yourself out of it. When God has allowed you to go down into a certain situation, there's very little you can do about it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's right. When God has steered the affairs of your life maybe into something that is creating an unpleasant situation for you, that is causing you to cry, is bringing tears to your eyes and has made you miserable. If God says the test is not over, it's not over. You are not going to be able to free yourself out of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I was asking the Lord, but we were praying, Lord, we were asking you to save this little girl's life. How come you didn't do that for us? When God is executing his plan, you can't change it. Hallelujah. But this did not mean that God had abandoned this fellow. It just meant that it wasn't God's time yet. Hallelujah. Because if this fellow had remembered him at this time, he would have gotten out of the prison, but it wouldn't be as rewarding for him, Joseph, as it was when he came out at the time he did. Do you see? Because he came out at the time when the king was most confused. The king himself had a dream and didn't know what to do with himself. And in his confusion, that was the time that this fellow remembered Joseph. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, that's after 2 more years. Isn't it? Yeah. After 2 more years. Well, 2 more years after you've tried to make your connection, your own connection, to come out. And it didn't work. You stayed there 2 more years after helping these two guys. I don't even know if they visited him. But they forgot all about him. That Pharaoh himself had a dream. And then, you know, the dream, there were cows and all these things. And he was confused. Now go down a little bit until where. So Pharaoh was furious with his servants. And he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream. Now this is where now the fellow has remembered, you know, the cupbearer has remembered Joseph. Do you understand? Maybe go back a bit to like verse 8, maybe. Then Pharaoh sent... go back, please. Are you enjoying the Bible? So I'm not preaching, I'm just reading the Bible to you. Hallelujah. Right. Let's read from here, verse 8. Now, verse 8. Now in the morning, his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. Now let me tell you anyway, just here. When you have a dream and you wake up and it seems to haunt you, do you get it? You should not take such dreams for granted. Do you get it? You must, it's a message. It means that the dream is a message. Do you get it? And you need to pray about it. Hallelujah. So that was just something I wanted to slip in there. But look at it. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams. But there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh saying, I would make mention today of my own offenses. 2 years. After 2 years. Do you see? Says, I have a confession to make. Okay. Then the next verse. Pharaoh was furious with his servants and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. We had a dream on the same night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Then, now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard, and we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one, he interpreted according to his own dream. And just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me in my office, but he hanged him. Okay, so then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. See, I want you to see that coming out on this note is more powerful and more rewarding than coming out at the time that Joseph was trying to arrange for himself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So now he comes in and he says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I've heard it about you, said about you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then the next one. So Pharaoh told him the dream, etc. And the next one, yet, etc. Then, wait. Go back a little bit. Verse 28. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming. All right. So go on. He interprets the dream. And then, next one. Okay. Verse 41. This is his recommendation. He's telling Pharaoh, now let Pharaoh look for a man who is discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land and let them exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority and let them guard it. Then the next one. And let the food. Then verse 38. Verse 37 says, now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit? Then, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. So you shall be over my house. According to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. This is where this whole thing was going. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you can see, so many years passed. It took a long time, but he did bring him there. And when Joseph got here, it fulfilled the prophecy. That's how the people of Israel ended up in Egypt. Hallelujah. And it began a whole blessing that affected his family and affected, which is much better. I mean, it could not be compared with any of the things that Joseph had before. Hallelujah. So all I'm saying to you this morning in my short message is that God is with you no matter what is happening. Can I have an amen? God is with you no matter what is happening. Sometimes it may take a long time. You're looking for a job. You look everywhere and everywhere and everywhere, every place. You come home sometimes and you wonder, where is God in all of this? Do you understand? Sometimes you're trusting God. There are people who trust in God to have children, trust in God to have a husband or a wife, a spouse, you know, just trusting God. It seems to take forever. Forever and forever and forever. And you start to feel that God is not with you. But even more dangerous is the urge to help yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? And many times, as we try to help ourselves, we rather help ourselves into a place that leads to more misery and more problems and more difficulties. Hallelujah. But if you can believe God's word this morning and know that God is with you, even when it hurts, that God is with you, even when it's delaying, that God is with you, even when it feels like you have been denied, God is with you, even when it feels like you've been mistreated, God is with you, even when you feel like you have been cheated. If you can hear the word of the Lord today and know that God has promised, he said, I will never leave nor forsake you. I will never do it. There is no time and there is no season in your life where God has abandoned you. God cannot, and his presence is not validated by our feelings. Our feelings are way too unreliable to be the ultimate test and proof of validation of God's presence with a person. Have you not noticed how sometimes everybody is warm and only you are cold? How can we go by such a thing? Your feelings are so unreliable. So we can't go by how it feels. We can only go by what he says. Hallelujah. And he said in Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2. Let's read those verses again. Isaiah 43 verse 1 and 2. It says that, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You are mine. You are mine. Don't be afraid. Then he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You see, often this is what we prefer. We prefer that God will be here, right here. Do you understand? That means he is here to prevent us from passing through the waters. Isn't that what we prefer? But he chooses to be right here in the middle of the waters. He says, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Can you see? So instead of him standing here to prevent this, he comes to be with us in the middle while it begins and while it continues. He says, when you go through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hallelujah. See, I had one other verse I wanted to share with you from Daniel chapter 3. But, okay, we'll just look at it quickly because I'm done. Daniel chapter 3. Have you found Daniel chapter 3? Okay. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 27, I think. Daniel chapter 3 and, okay, read Daniel chapter 3 and verse 21. He says, and verse 20 says, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Hallelujah. Then these men were bound in their coats, their cups, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Do you see? We wish that God will prevent that. Isn't it? Yeah. Because if they were members of our church, Pastor Henry, what would we be praying about? We would organize a prayer chain, and what would we be praying? That they should not be put in the fire. Is it not the case? Pastor Malena, isn't that what we would do? Yeah, that they should not go into the fire at all. Then the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded, isn't it? Oh, no, okay, verse 23. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king, there were three." Then what? He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." Can you see that? Yeah. He said, "We put three people in the fire. But look, they are loosed and they are walking about in the midst of the fire." I tell you, you can walk about in the midst of the fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Where you have been placed, he says, "We put them in tied. But look, we see four men loosed walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." Hallelujah. Yeah, he was an unbeliever, so he didn't know whether to say the son of God or the son of the gods or the daughter of the gods or whatever. All he knew was that he could see that they put three people in fire, but there are four people and the fourth one looks different from the rest. God says, "I will come." He says, "I will never leave you. I will always be with you." Shegun, there will never be a day. If you serve God properly, there will never be a day in your life, no matter what is happening, that God will not be with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not what is present or absent. It's not what you have or don't have. It's not what you're going through or not going through. It's not who you are losing or not losing. It's not who is dying or who is living. Our God's presence and his existence is not validated by any of those things, because he existed before any of those things came into your life anyway. So they cannot, these new things that have come into your life, how can it be? Right now you don't have a child. Maybe 3 years from now you have a child. So that child and his existence now becomes the thing that proves that there is God. How can it be? So where is God at this time when you don't have that child? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So there is nothing. Maybe now you don't have a car. 6 months from now, you are blessed with a nice car. Then one day, the car is in an accident. And then you start to say, "I won't serve God anymore. Because the car, if God was alive, how come my car crashed? Or how come somebody vandalized my car? How come they stole my tape in the car? How come your tape in your car? How can that be the validation and the proof of God's presence with you? Wasn't God with you before the car came?" Yeah. So anything that God has given you as you have served him cannot be the basis for which you judge whether he is with you or not. Today you may have a job, you're enjoying it. Tomorrow they might lay you off that job. But you're supposed to be smiling and saying that, "You know, Lord, I hate this experience, but I like you because you are still with me." Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what the song said. I haven't lost my what? Hope. I haven't lost my what? My joy. I haven't lost my what? My faith. And I haven't lost my what? My praise. In spite of all that I've been through. Hallelujah. Says the fourth one is like that. And how does the story end? How does the story end from there? It says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near and he spoke. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came for verse 27 is the last verse. And the princes and governors, he says the satraps and the prefects, the governors and the king's high officials gathered around. And they saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Listen, I don't know what you will go through in your lifetime, but I know that you will be okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know that you will be okay. Even the smell of the fire will not stay on you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even your hair will not be burned. I mean, he said that their hair was not messed up. Nothing happened to them. Yes, they went through the fire. They went through the pain. But they were still intact. You will still be okay. Hallelujah. We had one of our bishops a few years ago, you know, just about this time, just before Christmas, his wife just suddenly died, you know. And I mean, we thought we would all die. We just didn't know what to do, because we felt that this person is such a good person, Bishop Saki, I mean, such a good person. Why would such a thing happen to him? You know, today when you look at him, you see that the fire did not leave anything on him. Do you understand? Yeah, the fire did not leave anything on him. The other day I was actually thinking, because Mr. Saki had 3 boys, and we always used to tease him that he doesn't have a daughter or whatever. After his wife passed, he remarried and he had a baby. He has a girl. You know, and you look at the whole story and how it ends, and you can see that the person has been through the fire. But looking at him today, can you go back verse 27? Looking at him today, you do not see any effect of the fire on his body. And his head has not been singed by the fire. His trousers has not been damaged by the fire. And the smell of the fire is not even upon him. Hallelujah. I believe God is with you, and he will always be with you. You can always count on him. Hallelujah. One day you will never remember you even lost a job before. You never remember that you even lost a loved one. Somehow the effect will not be there anymore, because God is with you as you go through these things. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for today, and thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name that you will encourage all those who are hurting today. We pray for Nick. We pray for his wife. We pray for the parents of those children who died in Connecticut. We pray for the loved ones of the teachers. And we thank you, Lord, that none of these things mean anything where your love for us is concerned. That you have loved us with an everlasting love, and you have promised to be with us no matter what. And we thank you for that presence. We trust you. We trust you beyond our good experiences. We trust you beyond the fact that we have cars, beyond the fact that we have jobs, beyond the fact that our loved ones are alive, beyond the fact that we are healthy and well. We trust you. We trust you beyond all those things, because we believe that you have promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord, everybody. Just worship him. Lift up your hand and thank him for the experiences of your life, the good experiences, the bad ones, the painful ones, painful experiences, so painful, you can't even begin to imagine it. The feeling of being denied, being deprived, the feeling that you have been forgotten, the feeling that why has God allowed this to happen to me? Why me? Why me? But I want you to know that God is good all the same. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the encouragement that comes from God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your blessing.
Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. How many can encourage somebody? How many can? How many?